Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is the 15th of February, 7:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage.
That was
Shasta
a great show Regional yesterday.
Medical Center. Thank you.
Yes,
I thought that,
yeah.
I mean, I was thoroughly, thoroughly impressed by April.
April Brumana,
who was the poster child for women. You women out there, you're too tough. You push through the first signs of heart attacks. And it'll go away. It's indigestion. I got to make dinner. Oh, I'm going to go to work. Oh gosh, now my left arm or my right arm's hurting. And there's a big pain and there's a chest pain. And then even then, she was going to go home because, you know what, I'll be fine. And Lynn Ann Foster says, you don't look good. And April, okay, my friends, works at Shasta Regional Medical Center. And they took, and so, I mean, by the hand, took her down to the emergency room, and she didn't leave for 3 days,
mm-hmm.
or 4 days, because open heart surgery. Wow.
She was a speaker at Go Red, and I love when people have a testimonial that's as powerful as April's, to know that because she experienced what she did, to share it with other women, like, you know, pay attention. And Dr. Connett said usually it's women who die from the heart attacks because they wait.
Well, that's why it say that women's heart attacks are more severe because they don't go in for treatment right away, like, unlike men who go owie and run to the hospital. So anyway, Liam, good morning.
Good morning.
They're trying to figure out a satellite issue.
Let's just talk about that for a second. I tell you what, let's do the weather, and
try
and explain.
All right, everybody. Okay, you want to talk about Burr? 37 degrees in the downtown studio. Sunny today with a high of 58, but our lows tonight will be 30. Okay, let's just talk about some chilly nights. Partly sunny tomorrow, that's Thursday, with a high of 54 and overnight lows of 36. Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 65, overnight lows. Friday night, clear skies on Friday night with 36. And Saturday and Sunday, sunny and mostly sunny, 66 and 69. So we know we're not getting up to the 70 degrees. I know I went out with the horse yesterday, and my fingers, literally, it was 32, I believe, on the degrees out in Palisadro. My fingers were numb. And I really, instead of really feeling sorry for myself, you know, I was like, how am I going to warm my fingers up? I can't feel them. I really thought about all those people in Syria and Turkey, and people who, like the chosen frozen, the people who have served our country, that go out in all kinds of temperatures, and they on a mission, on a duty. With Turkey and Syria, of course, their world as they've known it have been is no longer, and they have to figure out, like, first of all, who's alive still, and all those things. So my thoughts went to all of these people with my stupid little fingers that I couldn't feel. And so I just want to, you know, just keep your prayers for those people and your thoughts, and gratefulness.
Well, we can look at homeless out there in our own city.
Absolutely.
And I think there's warming stations at a variety of places, and, they can still, Good News Rescue Mission always has beds. So what's the weather look like?
Again, I gave the weather, but it's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, the reading of the weather always at every hour. Shasta Gas Propane, our Anderson-located business. If you've driven down there off of Deschutes, you'll see that place that's got all of these huge propane tanks. And if you need this kind of service at your home or your business, they will go the extra mile. They'll go to hard-to-reach places up on top of hills that maybe perhaps other companies won't go to. They really serve the community. That's Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793.
Okay. Now, we're having problems with our satellite receiver. Everything else is working. But our satellite dish seems to have moved a little bit, and not much, but just enough.
My question is...
So, we with that, it's in and out on receiving the signal from the satellite. So we stream our shows, and at some points, like this morning, the news didn't fire because it comes in direct. It's not recorded. Our other shows, many of our other shows are recorded. But we've got a backup in our streaming that we use to get shows out. Live shows, no problem.
Yeah, because I called twice yesterday. I was listening to In From the Ranch, and, the news would go on, and then it would cut off, and our show would start, or something else would start.
Well, that's because twice, it's 7 o'clock.
At the top of the hour, yeah.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. And then there's a 30-second gap. Not gap, but a 30-second delay.
Like a signal that goes with the
feed? No, it's a 30-second delay, in the streaming part of it. And I don't know why that is. Anyway, BNT satellites on their way out here.
Oh, good.
And they're the ones that laid it in last time perfectly. That was five, six years ago.
They had to come and just make a small, a fraction of a twist. Is that how they do it? Do they twist the satellite, or is there something in the middle? I'd be curious to know how that works.
It's got to be laid on a certain azimuth and a certain degree. And Doug Tooley came out and did it, and it was perfect. First time. So
has nothing to do with the Chinese balloon.
Well, I don't know. But because after the Chinese balloon was shot down, then mm-hmm. they shot down two or three more.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've got other stuff up there. It's called Unidentified Flying Phenomena. So it's not a object. It's phenomena.
Well,
now.
China says the balloon was an unmanned weather airship.
Well, and you know what? China, were their lips moving? Then they're lying.
The U.S. House of Representatives subsequently voted unanimously to condemn China for a brazen violation of U.S. sovereignty and efforts to deceive the international community through false claims about its intelligence collection campaigns. Secretary of State Antony Blinken also canceled a visit to Beijing that many hoped would stabilize ties that have cratered amid disputes over trade, human rights, Taiwan, and China's claim to the South China Sea.
Now I'm starting to see that they're saying there's like hundreds of objects up there.
Hmm.
Anything from, okay, get this. Car lot balloons? You see?
Yes, yeah.
Those Gumby. And other types of, privately owned balloons heading around out there. If it's in the airspace where aircraft fly, that can become kind of a hazard. The last one he shut down was like the size of a ATV. But there's just when things were, when things start to slow down, then we have unidentified flying phenomena.
I want to do a shout out to the little town of downtown of Cottonwood. We went there yesterday, and we don't really, it's just this little strip of
Front
darling
Street.
Antique. What a great little afternoon for somebody to go in and browse little antique stores, and they have like several. And there's one I think that has 41. How many were there little booths within the big?
I think she said 41.
I know, 41 vendors.
Inside,
and they have places to eat down there anyway. So just right up, little town of Cottonwood. You don't think about it very much, but a shout out to all the people that come and show up and make it a really cute, a little getaway.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about Senator Dianne Feinstein and big news with her. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. They were on yesterday, and just, we had Dr. Azeeb Khan, Dr. Martinez.
Who's my doctor?
And April. Now, Shasta Regional Medical Group is taking new patients. I've seen a couple of doctors lately who have retired, one for sure. So they're his patients are kind of like, okay, what do we do now? Well, Shasta Regional Medical Group is taking patients. They've taken on another practice, I believe, down in Anderson, and they are hiring a nurse practitioner. I mean, they're looking, you know, they're open for new patients, and he doesn't believe in the telemedicine thing. He wants to see his patients. As Dr. Martinez said, but as the other ones do in the practice there.
Right.
So, and
he does take time with you. I will say that I've experienced that personally with Dr. Martinez, is that, you know, you really like somebody who you can talk to, and he'll work with you. I think today what I would love to be able to impart, if I could, with anybody listening and you're thinking about it, you know, your doctor doesn't really, you maybe see your doctor twice a year or once a year. So you need to really make a journal, if you will, in your mind or write it down about what you've experienced. And then when you sit with them, I'm experiencing this, they will work with you, as they should, because it's your body, your health, and your doctor should be like your co-chair, your co-pilot with you. So, you know, I can't express enough that it's really your responsibility for your health, or one's responsibility for one's health, and your doctor will help assist you. Yes, they're experts. Yes, they have the knowledge, but they don't know. They can't fix something you can't talk about.
There you go. Shasta Regional Medical Group. We'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
When Black Bear Diner first opened, they filled the largest platters they could find. Not much has changed. Their legacy of huge portions continues today. And they just introduced new diner deals. 6 new dinner combos and new home-style side choices. Baby back ribs and tri-tip, chicken strips and tri-tip, chicken Alfredo, chicken and pesto, ribs and shrimp, and cod and shrimp. There is always plenty for your paws at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
the City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Reading Fitness Center would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Reading Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Good morning, everybody. It's 7:20 here on the 15th of February. 37 degrees out there in Chile. Senator Feinstein, the longest serving woman senator, has announced she won't seek re-election in 2024. And it was somewhat of a cluster because they asked her, oh, have you made up your mind about 2024? She says, we're still working on it. And then another journalist said, your office released that you were retiring. And she said, oh, they released it already?
Oh, boy.
And so they go, oh, so she's really – but I can understand that. I mean, you know, maybe she didn't know it was being released. It, you know, she's made up her mind. Anyway, so she is not running. She will be 90 in I think December. So,
well, however you believe about her
about
politics.
The same age Joe would be when if he runs again and wins.
I'm going to say this about Dianne Feinstein. Whether you agree or disagree with her, you know, you've got to say that that woman has really devoted her life to, you know, serving, however she served. Just let's just say that. Let's give her props. And I think whenever you hold a public office or whenever you're doing these things in these days, in these times.
And her husband's become incredibly wealthy since she's been in office.
I don't have a hard feeling about that at all.
Well, I do. I have a real hard feeling with it. Let me tell you why. They are privy to insider information. And when they're looking at doing something, you know, on a large scale in a certain area, and then they dump their stock or they buy their stock, and you can't tell me that, oh, that was just because of great studying and all of this. There is no law that says that the elected officials or their immediate family can't invest or make money off of the fact of who they are. In other words, no, I don't believe there's ever been anybody, except Trump perhaps, that hasn't become a lot richer since they became elected officials.
But I will say that when you mix in different circles, let's say you're an investor, or let's say that you've got, okay, just pretend, we're going to give a hypothetical number, $50,000, okay? You have $50,000 that you can put into a company, you can buy stock, so on and so forth. I had a friend that I met, we were both like 19 or 20, in the theater. And his father was a, you know, probably one of those Fortune 500 guys, you know, out of Los Altos. And my friend would go on tour and save all of his money and invest it. And through his father's connections and listening and hearing things, he was able to put an investment in some kind of, I don't know, medical, I don't know what it was per se, but it went. It went, what do you want to call public, and then tripled. So he made millions of dollars, and he was maybe not even 30, made millions of dollars. And my point is that when you're moving, this is the American dream. When you're moving in different circles, I don't care what your job is or how, whatever it is, if you get an opportunity, that's the American dream. You're able to, what happens if you invest and it completely fails? How many times do you fail before you succeed? And so I don't have a problem with that. I think that you're moving in circles and you have an opportunity to be able to kind of maybe get on the inside, hear about stuff before it actually happens. And I don't really
See, that's wrong. It's called insider trading. It's one thing for your friend through his own acumen to build a fortune like that because he did it on his own. And he's not a public official. He's not the husband of a public official. They're not the wives of a public official. And it's when public officials who have been in the business, who have access to all this information, and all of a sudden they're making these, decisions to buy or sell. That's the problem I have. Not people going out there and doing the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy with the American dream who won the $2 billion.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Carl, I know that just probably
it does.
deflated, that's a good word. Deflated your balloon. Most people would prefer, according to this article today, to remain anonymous after winning such a large sum of money. The sole winner of a $2 billion Powerball jackpot is announced. However, the California lottery is subject to public disclosure laws, which means the winner's full name was made public. Now, here's the thing that would drive me crazy. This is on CNN. There's a hyperlink to next to who he is. Can you imagine?
Who was it?
I didn't.
I want to know if we know him.
Let's see. It's a. Okay, I'm looking.
Well, anyway, well, that's good. You got me all excited there that you had the name. But, you know, really, he deserves some privacy. Frankly, you would know if...
The ticket was sold at Joe's Service Center, the lottery said. Joe Chayahad, a Syrian immigrant, received a $1 million bonus in the lottery for selling the winning ticket. That's why we go over to Tobacco and Brew, where we buy our tickets, because if we win, Shelley wins. The odds of winning a Powerball jackpot are 1 in 292.2 million.
About the same chance you have of getting bitten by a shark over at Turtle Bay. And yet, when it gets up there, there I am putting my $5 in going, what am I going to do with the money? And then I think... So, Roberta, what say you?
Oh, good morning. Oh, Linda, I'm sorry. You're one of my naive friends.
Okay.
You forget that Diane Feinstein had a Chinese spy as her driver for years. You have no idea who her husband has taken advantage of in businesses. But we do know that she does not vote for the people. She votes for whatever the leaders in the Democratic Party tell her to do. So don't forget, we're just learning now how corrupt our government is, and Diane has been a part of that.
Well, thank you.
And that's my comment.
I appreciate that.
In defense of Linda, what she said was she admires people who put themselves out there for public service.
And, well, sure,
and
for their
now,
advantage.
Well, you know what? Here's what I believe, and tell me if I'm wrong. I can take it. I think people who originally run for office, whether it was 30 years ago or last year, I think they really come in with this feeling that they want to help and they can make changes. And then
I think they come in with good thoughts. But Carl, not when they come from families of politicians.
Well, that could be. You know what? And that could be. But I think the vast majority of people who run for office, the vast majority, because they They want to make a change. They want to make, you know, the world better. However, the longer you stay, the more you will change your values.
Yes, and it's up to the people. We are absolutely a republic, not a democracy.
That's absolutely
and
right.
And it's up to the people to
to make
elect
those changes.
People
yeah.
who are actually doing the work of the people,
no,
not
I,
the work
I,
of themselves.
I thoroughly, thoroughly agree with that. So,
okay, but, talk to you later.
Okay,
thank
hon,
you so
thank
much.
You, thanks
no,
for
and I really see now that was a healthy. That was a healthy because we know Roberta, and Roberta is an extremely respectful individual, and that was a healthy
smart,
like let me
smart.
Just tell you, you know, and it was kind. I didn't mind saying you're one of my naive friends, and I'm the first one to say that yes, I am. I don't know. I just look at again, you know, Carl's been asked to run a couple times. He was approached in the last 15 years here in Reading, and we decided, you know, and that's a sad thing because he would be a fabulous leader, but, you know, I don't have, I'm kind of like, what's his name's wife who, he said, I'm not going to run for president because my wife, because I don't have the mental capacity with dirty politics and how it's become so. Our society is just cruel in a way that, you can't even walk. I'm a, you know, I want to be able to go to Costco in peace. I want to go to Safeway in peace and know that, you know, if I'm outside and I'm watering a plant that I'm not going to have somebody like, you know, throw something at me or say something. And that's what happens when you put yourself in a public, like, especially with politics, you may stand for something and so anyway, I admire when people have the grit and determination to do that, and I do think our whole political landscape has changed. At one time, there was respect with you could reach across the aisle and then go have a cocktail. You could disagree and go have a cocktail and talk about your kids and play a golf game and then come back out and, you know, fight in the houses or fight for whatever you're fighting and believe in. But times have changed. It's become much more underbelly, dirty, and kind of cruel. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This portion of the show is brought to you by something that does make me happy, Four Winds Jewelry, located on Hilltop Drive. For all your jewelry needs, go in there, and it's a locally owned business. We do support our locally owned businesses. We know how hard they work, what they have to do in order to keep the lights on. So if you're looking for something special, or your spouse, or friend, or you know, partner said, hey, let's go get something after Valentine's Day. Head on over to Four Winds Jewelry. We'll be right back.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
On display now at Turtle Bay Museum, Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art, 1975 through 2018, featuring 36 art pieces created by Marine combat artists who documented their own experience in times of war and peace. This traveling museum exhibition is sponsored by the Marine Corps Heritage Foundation from the National Museum of the Marine Corps, open now through April 30th. Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Shasta Beam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from Shasta Beam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, the hop with a hop. Where the apps are the cool and the music is the seamless with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show is brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody knows more about repairing windshields than Jeff Wurst.
Jeff Wurst.
Nobody's better than
him. Veteran-owned business.
Veteran-owned business. He's been in the business for a couple of decades. Don't fool around with your family safety. Those chips can turn into cracks real quick. So he can fix those chips and cracks up to 2.5 feet in length. Get your windshield repaired by a master windshield repair specialist, and you can get a free inspection and analysis just by bringing your vehicle down to 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 530-241-8373 for an appointment today. We're here with
Chuck Baker.
And
I'm sorry, I didn't know if you were reaching for the names. Go ahead.
No, I was taking a breath.
Okay.
I'm not a porpoise. I can't breathe out of the top of my head and, you know, swim at the
same time. So go ahead and I'll fill in the gaps.
Okay.
All right.
We're here with Gibson Hilliard and Chuck Baker from the Teen Center. Is that correct? Or
yes, Pathways to Hope for Children. We're a child abuse prevention organization located here in Reading.
All right, so I just was reading about this, and you have the teen centers that you support as well, and there's that Anderson Teen Center. You've got the Reading Teen Center, and let's talk a little bit about your mission. What's your, like, along your mission statement? Because what we want to do is try to drive home in this radio interview, people driving, people in their houses. People are thinking, how can I help? Maybe some statistics, and so that we can see you and help you.
Yeah, thank you. So we have, you're correct, two different teen centers, one down in Anderson, which we've been running for, about 20-plus years now, and it's been very successful. We get about 30 to 40 teens every afternoon. So it's a great gathering spot to kind of keep the teens actively doing something after school between those hours when they leave school and parents are still working. And then we also just recently, I believe April of 2021, we just opened a Reading Teen Center because we saw that there was a need in Reading as well.
And where is that located?
It's over, I guess, we call it the Four Corners here, Churn Creek and Hartnell, just next to the Dollar Tree store. So,
That's a great location because there's a school right there and you see the kids getting out of school and kind of hanging around. So that's perfect.
Yes. Enterprise, we get a lot of kids from Enterprise and Parsons over that way. And we really, really would love to at some point get some transportation just to make it more accessible to all teens in Reading. But, parents are more than welcome to come check out the center and drop their teens off right after school if they're able to.
So, Chuck Baker, I see you patiently waiting. tell us your involvement. Why are you here today?
I'm here to support Gibson. I am the newest member to the team on staff. I started as a volunteer. I am presently still a police officer in the Central Valley, California, but I've moved here to Reading, back to Reading, I should say. I started off here in 2019, 2020 as a chaplain for the Reading Police Department, put myself through the academy, and then I've lived in Central Valley ever since. So I've been lucky enough and blessed enough to be able to spend half my career in law enforcement working with kids, first as a school resource officer for almost 6 years, and then as a PAL program director and creator. A PAL program is Police Activities League, and what we did is we created opportunities for police officers to hang out with kids.
It used to be the Police Athletic League.
Yes, it used to be the Athletic League, but not everyone's into athletics.
Yeah, it makes sense. But yeah, that was because I've seen that, and for as long as I can remember, the police have been out there trying to help kids get back into give them things to do besides get in trouble.
Absolutely. So my goal there, to segue into what we're doing here, was to put cops with kids in non-threatening environments. So we did that through a boxing program, which we are now bringing to the Shasta County here. We have partnered with Shasta County. We're going to have a boxing program here. But along those, so I've changed my mission to be with this program. And what I do is I now want to put people ages 60 and over along with kids because I think there's so much richness in people's lives to share with kids, and they don't understand each other. And to have a place where we can come together and bring them together, I think that there's so much benefit, and it's beneficial to both sides, both to people 60s and over who I don't understand these kids today. You know what? I'm 51. I'm retired law enforcement, and sometimes I don't understand my own kids. To have them come together in a teen center and work with kids on a daily basis and learn what they're about, and then the richness of their lives that they're able to share, whatever it is that they're into, that they can share with the kids, that's something that I think is really worthy of throwing my time into. So I'm here to support that mission.
There used to be an organization called Big Brother.
Yes.
And Big Brother would be, so we're talking about the same kind of, if you will, philanthropic or what it is that maybe somebody wants to do, like a Big Brother feeling where you're coming in and or sister, to come in and be, if you're younger, like maybe that would be something, I don't know, maybe there's part of this whole thing like with student government or extra credit or something where within your high school, maybe there could be a program, maybe there already are, where somebody would come in and do like an hour or two a day or a week, bringing their skills, doing some kind of, you know, maybe it's theater, maybe it's computer, maybe it's something that gets these kids involved in something that is an extracurricular something. You know, when you are in a creative process, you leave your worries behind.
Yeah, exactly. I think you kind of nailed it on the head. We definitely want to build that mentorship. The thing that's a little bit different about our program, though, is that the Big Brother, Big Sister tends to be a one-sided mentorship. And with this program, we're really hoping that it's both sides. We really want to bridge that gap where we want to have older adults learn from our teens, you know, technology, these kids, what they're learning today. And then we know older adults have so much experience. They've gone through so much life and have so many stories and advice. So we're really hoping to bring those both stories and sides together and really build some meaningful connections. We know that after COVID that a lot of people feel isolated, especially on the older side. maybe sitting at home more and feeling more isolated and alone. And so we want to take away that aspect. And then for teens, you know, we always need some help kind of guiding our youth in the right direction.
Here's a thought, and we got about a minute here. And I'm sure you guys have thought about this before, but, you know, I love the whole creative aspect of what you guys are doing. Do you have teens that for a certain amount of money per hour that they could possibly be tutors for adults? They come in and they want to learn about computers, or they want to know about what is this, not TikTok, but, you know, something like that. And that they would be able to make money or have points towards a trip or something like that. Is there a program like that?
Well, we do have like a point system. We call them hope tokens. We're a very hope theory focused organization. So we hand out these tokens and they get to win when they've done, you know, helping clean up in the teen center or done something that's helpful. They win these kind of tokens where they can cash them in for water bottles and little spinny objects or anything that we have kind of on hand. In terms of working, we're always open to new ideas and growing and building, especially with this program. But I think we have about maybe one or two teens that have developed enough relationships and know how the teen center can help that and is run, that we have them now part of like benefits and part of staff.
Got to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. We're here with Chuck Baker and Gibson Hillard with the Hope Park and Pathways to Hope for Children. We're going to be talking more about at Hope Park when we come back.
Took my love, took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around.
Hello friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Padron 1926 Series Number 9. 5 1/4 inches by 56 ring gauge, this is, I will admit, a personal favorite. In Nicaraguan Puro, richer, rounder, and more complex experience with flavors of coffee, nuts, and a hint of black cherry. Perfectly balanced with a finish that lasts for days. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
The City of Redding cares about clean, affordable transportation. Redding Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price of the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. Although Coach Master is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coach Master, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coach Master apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachMasterAutobody.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients.
Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Welcome back. Free fire.
I can.
You can. Linda surprised me. It's 7:50 in the morning here on the 15th of February, about 37 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Committed, dedicated, locally owned, locally run. I've been in the business 15 years, moving local dreams forward. And we're going to give them another chance on that. They are just extraordinarily helpful. We do business with Cornerstone. They have four branches. Two right here in Redding, one in Red Bluff, and one down in Anderson, their newest branch. For more information, go to bankcornerstone.com. And we're here with the Pathway to Hope, and we're talking to teen centers, and we're talking about the need for volunteers and the different programs they have. And we're here with Chuck Baker and Gibson Collard.
Collard.
We'll get that right. Anyway, you were saying at the break, I think it's very important, and let's drive that home here with this last segment about seniors 60 and plus that you're asking for volunteers at these teen centers. And let's talk about some of your outside activities.
Great, thanks. Yes, so we also offer fun adventures as a side perk if you join as a volunteer, where volunteers and teens are able to go out and participate. We've run two so far. One was a kayaking adventure, which Chuck actually joined us as a volunteer, so I think he can speak to that. And then also a horseback riding adventure. And now we're looking forward to doing some snowshoeing in Lassen this month. Chuck, any thoughts about the kayaking?
What I learned about the kayaking was I stayed upright. Never kayaked before. It was fantastic. Even having a bad back. So I was surprised. I thought, this is gonna cost me. But it was so much fun.
You obviously didn't get the kayak I had.
No, sir.
My kayak literally filled up with water.
It does
slowly. Yeah. No, I'm not talking about coming from the
bottom.
Top.
Wasn't in.
The bottom had a leak in it.
We rented it.
Try rowing a 500-pound kayak across the lake.
And then when we got back after, we kept looking like, what is going on with Carlos? He was like, brrr. He looked like a cartoon back there.
Going nowhere fast.
We kept saying, what is going on with you? We thought, maybe he just wants to kick back because he's... You know, he's in his mind somewhere just thinking about something else. And when we finally got back, they said, we're so sorry. The bottom of your kayak was not plugged in or plugged up.
Anyway, so you do a kayaking.
Yes. No one sunk on this trip. We were lucky, I guess.
Yeah, snowshoeing. People don't realize snowshoeing is a lot of fun. But that, again, is a learned skill on how to move.
Oh, boy.
How to move with them, kind of shuffle along. What do you all need, really?
So we're asking for a 4-hour-a-week commitment, just because we really feel like we don't want you to come in and out of the teen centers. We really want our teens to recognize you and have you really be part of the team.
Is that a 4-hour once a week, or is that like 2 hours and 2 hours?
Yeah,
or you don't
you
want
it
to be 15 minutes, but
yeah.
No, but you could do a 2-hour and 2-hour.
Do 1 hour every, you know, for 4 days.
Okay.
And I mean, you're also welcome to come more. But you can also just do the 4-hour shift in one shebang and head on out.
I think this is really important. The bottom line here, and then of course we're going to go with Chuck, is that mentoring right now, we understand that somewhere in our lives, we had a mentor that helped, maybe on our path, to where we want to better ourselves, or a light bulb goes off, and something that takes you, maybe that person that is just borderline of maybe I don't want to do anything, and I've got bad grades, I'm going to maybe go down the alley and hang out with some kids and do something I shouldn't do. Chuck.
You know, in my job, I came across a lot of people in crisis. And I always said to teenagers, I said, you know, I bet somewhere in your past, recent or your past, you wish there was someone there who was just giving you their undivided attention, who would just listen to everything you had to say. And I bring that to this program here, that I think that if we can find the right people, and this program is so easy to work with. I was a volunteer doing it as well. I'm just not 60 yet, so I don't fit the category that we're looking for. But you just drop in. You just hang out with the kids. And that can be intimidating to some people, but other people can be very liberating. I think that there's a gap that's growing, that if we don't have programs like this where we bring people together, that sometimes we're not going to understand each other. So what I love about this program, other than not to disparage other programs, but you don't have to have this huge commitment where you maybe take a kid into your home for like a whole day or anything like that. You're dropping into a teen center to hang out with kids. And if you happen to have a skill or an interest or something that you have knowledge in, we're going to facilitate that. We're going to make sure that's something you can do with the kids. You can hang out. You can do a workshop. You can do a class. You can just come in and start strumming a guitar, and kids are going to gather around you and learn how to play guitar. So it's very user-friendly. I was, at first when I first started talking about it, with Gibson, she was such a great trainer for me and brought me in and really showed me the ropes on how to work with kids. And she's going to do the same thing with everyone that comes in. Very, people friendly, and it's a very enriching environment, not just for the kids, but also for anyone who gets involved. And of course, it segued into a position for me to help grow this program, which is what I'm all about.
Mm-hmm. And that we'll quote the Whitney Houston song, "I believe the children are our future. Teach them hope and let them lead the way."
Yes, I love that.
That is true.
And, we have a friend that we just found out that had retired. And he's a young guy, a young being like 62 in that sense. And I could see him doing something like this.
Yeah.
He would be a valuable addition to y'all.
Yeah.
And the thing is
send him as
our
say, way.
Just call him out like the ALS challenge.
Just because
call him out right now.
if you think you can't really relate to kids, you need to give it a try, because they're looking. They're like little sponges. They're looking for information.
So true.
And Linda, you could go down and talk about horses with somebody for 2 hours.
I need somebody to teach me about horses. But I think that, like, for instance, the thing that came to my mind right now is that somebody who is a builder, or just a guy or a woman who loves to and has the tool belt, just the basics. This is a flat screwdriver. People don't know when you say, get me a wrench, what's a wrench? Just something simple about how to hammer. What do you need in your toolbox? Or how to thread a needle? Or just the simple ironing, the things that some kids never know.
Absolutely.
How to change a tire. Just basic life skills that they've learned and acquired over the years that they just pull out so easily to live their life. And a lot of kids have never seen these. So, yes, we're looking for anybody who has something that they think they had to share.
Thank you so much. All right, so we've got about, how does one get a hold of you if their little light bulb has gone off about how they could be a mentor and help with your teen centers?
Yes, great question. So you can go online to learn more, www.hopeshasta.org. Also, feel free to give us a call. We are around 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, and we can answer any questions. And you're also welcome to come walk into the teen centers. We usually have someone on staff that can maybe give you like a little 5-minute quick tour between like one and 5 every day, or Monday through Friday. But basically the process looks like we ask that you fill out an application and do a background check, because, yes, you will be working with kids.
Yes, of course.
And then we do 20 hours of training, which sounds like a lot, but we've compared it with other organizations similarly that run about 60-plus hours of training. So we really feel like to give you those minimal tools to be able to work with our teens, that is what we're asking, yeah.
And it's really important that people know what they're they're getting into, and that makes perfect sense that everybody needs to know the perimeters, the rules, the regulations, because in today's time, we definitely have to have perimeters, rules, and regulations about, okay, if we need this, we really love you, but here's our guidelines.
Somebody's just asked, when is the snowshoeing date?
Yes. I believe it's the 24th that we are going out.
24th of?
This month, February.
There you go.
Thank you
it's
for the 24th question.
February. Who knows? Maybe we'll get this guy in there to help you out.
You do have to get through those 20 hours of training first,
So you better get, your butt down there. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Gibson Collard and Chuck Baker, and for everything you're doing for our community.
And
for the kids. Okay, we're going to take a break for the
thank
news and come
so much,
right
Linda
back.
Thank you. And Carl.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we butchered your name three times. So.
Yeah.
The sheriff's going to join us when we get back. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomas. Their lives thrown into disarray by the derailment of a trainload of toxic chemicals, residents of East Palestine, Ohio, will be attending a town hall meeting this evening looking for answers to their concerns about the air and water. The impact of yesterday's deadly crash of a tanker truck in Arizona still being felt. Hazardous material leaked onto an interstate outside Tucson, shutting down part of the highway and forcing evacuation.
The Arizona Department of Public Safety says a shelter-in-place order has been reinstated for a one-mile perimeter around the incident on I-10 southeast of downtown Tucson, where they anticipate extensive closures. Residents are being advised to turn off heaters and air conditioning systems that bring in outside air. The tractor truck was leaking liquid nitric acid, and officials say while crews were attempting to remove
closed door briefing for senators on the recent shootdown of unidentified flying objects, raising many questions. Republican Tom Cotton is slamming the Biden administration for its handling of the matter.
On the one hand, the administration is saying we don't yet know what these last three objects are and we don't want to characterize until we recover them. But on the other hand, it wasn't a threat. Both of those things can't be true. So that's why it's urgent that President Biden resolve these contradictions.
Retail sales jumped 3% last month, according to the government. And watching Wall Street, the Dow is down 156. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We're entering a time of increasing hostility against people of faith, a time when Christians are going to be tested on a moral and physical and financial basis, unlike any other time in our lifetime. I'm Lance Wallnau, Christian author, evangelical leader, here to remind you that you have to take action to protect and steward what God has given you. For example, record high inflation is going to continue to eat away at the dollar, and the savings of your retirement account is in danger. Fortunately, God does provide a way. To protect your retirement, I recommend diversifying your 401k or IRA out of paper and into physical gold. And the best way to do that is with a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. Now, to see how it works, just text the word FAITH to 989898. That'll give you access to a free info kit on gold IRAs. There are no strings attached, so text FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898 right now, and I pray your family is blessed with peace of mind because you took action.
One of the 12 boys rescued from a Thai cave in 2018 has died in the UK.
There was great excitement last year among the 12 boys rescued from the cave when Domprom Tip announced he'd been given a scholarship to join a football academy in Britain. Today, my dream has come true, he wrote. Now people from his hometown have told us that the 17-year-old boy died in hospital in Britain after being found unconscious in his dormitory on Sunday. No other details have been given. Dom's emaciated but grinning face caught in a diver's light once the boys had been discovered 9 days after getting trapped in the cave was one of the most memorable images from that remarkable rescue.
The BBC's Jonathan Head. China voicing support for Sri Lanka ahead of a meeting of government lenders to impoverished countries, but China not saying if it might help out cut the multi-billion dollar debt. News and analysis at townhall.com. Time is running out for a last-ditch attempt to keep California's last remaining nuclear plant going.
A state analysis predicts it will take federal regulators until late 2026 to act on an application to extend the operating run of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. However, the plant is scheduled to shut down permanently by mid-2025. Operator Pacific Gas and Electric is asking the Nuclear Regulatory Commission for an unusual exemption that would allow the decades-old reactors to continue.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie. Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, and so Wednesdays, and one of the sheriff's favorite little lead-ins. And then somebody wrote to me yesterday and said, do you realize next year that Valentine's Day falls on Wednesday, hump day?
Oh, my gosh. What a great Valentine's
Day.
I'm
sorry, but that's going to be a special day.
It's leap year.
And it's leap year. Anyway.
That whole thing is confusing.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Carl and Linda Bott here.
Yeah, I'm going
to
give you.
On the 15th of February at 8:06 in the morning. And the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. Liam's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Do we have a national day besides hump day?
Here, let me open up the tab.
Meanwhile,
they're not great.
They're not great.
Wisconsin. It's National Wisconsin Day.
Oh,
Wisconsin.
Okay.
Which means cheese.
You have friends in Wisconsin right now. Isn't that interesting that it falls? Yeah,
they're all going tomorrow. They're out there where I was at last year hunting pheasants. And it's cold. It's really cold. And then it gets really, really cold. You have to literally use a 12-volt battery to jump start the pheasants to make them fly.
And, then, you know, cheese curds can take cure the blues for anybody,
right? Let me tell you what. Cheese curds are like potato chips back there. You sit down and you order a beer. And it's Pabst Blue Ribbon,
by the way, which
tastes a lot better back on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And right in front of you. Cheese curds.
Isn't that great?
Oh my gosh.
Well, speaking of cold, it's 38 currently in the downtown studios. The sun has come out, so the last time we read it was 37. So anyway, 58 today will be our highs. Overnight lows of 30, mostly clear tonight. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 54 and overnight lows of 36. Friday mostly sunny with a high of 65. Friday night, 36. Saturday and Sunday, looks like we've got around 66 and 69. Looks like there's not any rain in this forecast. Looks like Thursday we will have winds up to about 6 miles an hour. Nothing like what we had in the past. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, located in Anderson. It's a veteran-owned business where they go the extra mile. Our customers are warm friends. 365-3793.
We've been having some outages because of not our equipment, but the feed from the satellite into our satellite dish. And we're having a BNT satellite over here today or tomorrow to readjust the aiming point of our satellite. And it's probably going to be like 2 degrees. You know, it's not going to be a lot. But that's the problem we're having. And we have a backup, which it plays, and that's our streaming. But we want to get back online. So if you've noticed some, you know, things that happen, there's a 30-second gap or something like that. It's caused by the satellite and the wind that we think we really believe it's
don't say the Chinese balloon.
I was going to say the atmospheric balloon.
I was going to say
the tilt.
The tilt. of
there we go. Thank you.
The tilt of the satellite receiver is off just a little bit.
Yeah,
so we're going to fix it.
Right.
Okay.
Sheriff Johnson is with us today. We're always so happy to have our man in uniform that comes, Sheriff Michael L. Johnson, if you will. He's our Shasta County Sheriff. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, okay.
Liam, thanks, buddy. Yeah. I always start my Wednesday.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, you love that. It's
you
been
know,
a month
you know what
since
our signal
here.
Is, in case somebody forgets it, right?
What? No.
Oh.
Humps.
Oh, yeah. Is that how you do a hump? I was like this the last time. So it's been a month, and since you've been here, tell us if you've got some little tidbits, some golden nuggets, what's happened on the best of notes in the last 30 days.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you the first and foremost, the best of notes is applications are up about 15% to 20% for the sheriff's office. So a bigger applicant pool means that, you know, it's numbers game. We end up harvesting more viable candidates out of a bigger pool. So we're on a little bit of an uptick. I mean, I don't want to over bolster what's going on or jinx myself, but we're definitely making some headway finally. And that is a good thing. So if you want some positive, that's about the biggest positive I can give you because, as you know, my primary objective at this point is to get that jail back open and to full incarceration capacity as fast as possibly practical.
Okay. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up.
Okay.
Patrick Jones is going to introduce a resolution to the Board of Supervisors of Shasta County and preservation of the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. And if I read what it was said in the paper, if that was correct, if it's not in the Constitution, then they do not believe that the law should be adhered to that the state of California has made. Now, there's a number of things in here I've got in front of me discussing former, with the Supreme Court of the United States, and that this resolution that is being presented by the rifle and pistol.
I'm not sure.
Of California, I think. I've got to go back and take a look at it. Effective immediately, all county officials elected and appointed shall review this resolution and essentially make this a Second Amendment sanctuary area.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Pretty much. Until actually Tuesday we hear the whole thing and see what the exact proposal is, it's kind of hard to speculate on where that's going to go. I could speak in generality to that as far as my personal opinion. I am, excuse me, I am, as I told you and as you know, Carl and Linda, a big Second Amendment supporter. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in the right to bear arms. And I, too, am, like many people, are frustrated with the state and their restrictions of guns and gun parts and, you know, suppressors and bullet buttons and high-capacity magazines and everything that they try to impose. I'm as frustrated as anybody else with that. So as far as supporting the right to bear arms and being a showing the state that we're a county that supports the Second Amendment and people's rights to bear arms, I'm all for that.
We have one of the largest numbers of concealed carry permits, and which continues to grow, I imagine, daily. And people in other parts of the state right now are going through the throes of trying to figure out. Other county sheriffs are going through just a hard time trying to figure out how they're going to get that program going.
The concealed weapons program?
Concealed weapons
program. Yeah, and we're fortunate because ours is pretty well established, and all I've been doing is working on improving it and making it easier and quicker and a far painless process. I tell you, Carl, you know, coming into that and starting to learn about CCWs and my role in that and issuing those, I wanted to bump that up to like a 4 to 5 year permit, so we didn't have to go.
That would be great.
People didn't have to go through this every 2 year, and that's another state of California thing that they don't allow that. They allow me to only to have to do it every 2 years, and it's frustrating. I mean, it's little things like that that frustrate Californians when it comes to gun rights.
Well, 2 years is about the length of time it takes for my concealed carry to come apart, the paper comes apart, and it comes in.
Carl,
so I bring
I,
it back. I bring it in four pieces. I bring it back in four pieces.
You're
and
not
I
the
carry
only
in my
one.
Wallet. I, and the girl looks at me. She goes, "Oh, okay." And I went, "Yeah, it's difficult." And I said, "I keep getting stopped, and they keep asking me." No, that's not true. But yeah. So,
well, we had
big announcement here.
We had a donation where I actually bought the donor bought the credit card machine, if you will, so we can start doing CCWs as a credit card. You'll get the paper still, but you'll be mm-hmm. able to carry the card, the hard card, which uh-huh. will have your endorsements on it, and it won't come apart in four pieces.
So
it's just a matter of getting. Now I'm working with IT to get that to. Be approved through the county and hooked up,
yeah.
But that'll be coming very soon. At least I have all the parts
that's good.
All the program laid out.
And that's
for
that. One of the things you said you were going to do.
Yep.
Is get that fixed. So I'm glad to see it's moving forward. We're with Sheriff Mike Johnson. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. Yeah, the guy's going to come out and fix our dish. Redding's dish premier local retailer. Doug Tooley's been doing this for over 30 years, and he has all types of great deals. Don't call the 800 number. Call your local number at 530-241-3474. He cares about his customers. He takes care of his customers. No problem too hard, no problem too simple that he won't have be out there or one of his people be out there to help you out. 530-241-3474. B&T Satellite, don't call the 800 number. We'll be right back.
Shasta Beam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from Shasta Beam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
On display now at Turtle Bay Museum, Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art, 1975 through 2018, featuring 36 art pieces created by Marine combat artists who documented their own experience in times of war and peace. This traveling museum exhibition is sponsored by the Marine Corps Heritage Foundation from the National Museum of the Marine Corps, open now through April 30th. Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have
so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It is Wednesday, the 15th of February, about 38 degrees out there, 8:20 in the morning. And the,
it's 37 degrees.
Well, thanks for correcting me. Mm-hmm. Can you tell the difference?
Well, I think if somebody went, oh, I heard it was 15 degrees.
Well, he didn't say 15. I said 37.
You did?
And then you said, no, it's 38.
Oh, I thought you said 15.
Folks, this is marriage at its best right here.
This is working with your wife.
KCNR.
And we'll go home and discuss it. And she'll bring it up. She'll go, I thought you said 15.
All right. Well, never mind. Okay. Moving along. Okay. 37 degrees.
We're Sheriff Mike Johnson.
I thought it was 36.
Thanks for chiming in, Liam.
Thank you. Thank you. Ish. Okay, we'll do an ish in there.
Let's
okay.
go to the phones. Nick. What say you?
Oh, hey. Good morning, Sheriff. Listen, I wondered if you would put Shasta mugshots back up on the Internet so people can see the characters that are running around in our community. I think that would enhance your chances of getting some more money when you need it if they saw the quality of people that you're arresting time after time.
Okay. I don't know the legalities of that. I think there was something happened with that being taken down. But I'll look into it, Nick, because I agree. I think that'd be a good thing.
We all enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because you
absolutely.
That, you'd see who was in there. And then when you saw somebody you knew.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, you know, I understand it was taken down because it must have been 10 years ago. John Green was running against Bazinko, and he put an ad up on there for his campaign.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I heard that same story. And
so anyway, if you could get that up, I'd appreciate it. And have a great day, buddy.
Thank you. I'll look into it.
Well, I think that was a private concern that did that. And then there was things that came up about privacy. You're putting photos up of people who were arrested but who have not been convicted.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. But I went to a friend's office business, and I was looking for one of his employees. You know, that I knew worked there. And he goes, oh, well, here, let me show you. And he shows a picture of him from the mugshots. And the guy had the company shirt on with logo.
Oh, my gosh.
And he says, he's not here. And so I always tell my people, if you're going to go out and get arrested, don't be having anything on that says KCNR.
Right.
You know, in fact, I'll give him T-shirts from other stations. Anyway, okay, moving on back. Linda had a question. You know, all the different departments you have.
Yeah.
You know, and is like the coroner's department.
Yeah.
What does the coroner do?
Yeah, so coroner is death investigations, right? Whenever there's a suspicious death or undetermined or anything like that, the coroner's office will step in and take that investigation. So, yeah, Linda, you're right. There's so many different aspects to it when you look at it. So just talking about the coroner's office, that's kind of a standalone entity of the sheriff's office. I have a deputy coroner investigator, which is one of my lieutenants. So that's a direct report to me. So I directly oversee that. Where other departments, I might have a captain, a lieutenant, and a chain of command that goes, the coroner's a direct report. And we have that staff with deputy coroner investigators, they're called, and they're the men and women that have specialty training. They are a version of a sworn officer. They're not a gun-carrying officer, but they have certain peace officer powers, kind of like the jail has a different peace officer powers. Mm-hmm. The coroners have different peace officer powers as well. They are governed by post, like other peace officers are, but they have specialty training and death investigations. And these folks, they're great. They're very hardworking, and I super appreciate them because they do weekend duty. They'll get sometimes 12 bodies on a weekend to have to collect and bring to the coroner's office.
Well, now, a lot of these are just natural causes, though, right?
Yeah, they turn out to be that way. But if I was to pass away in my house and I was under the care of hospice and a doctor and everything, the coroners wouldn't deal with me. I would go straight to the mortuary. It's when there's...
But if a young person or a younger person that, is... wife or husband wakes up in their past, right, and they're not under that type of care, you all then get into that.
Unknown cause of death, yeah.
Unknown cause of death.
Then we would definitely investigate that. So these folks have that training, and I got to tell you that the deputy coroner investigators, they have different minds. They have truly scientific minds. They look at things very differently than the rest of us
like
do.
Like a scientist.
I find this fascinating.
Me
well,
too.
What's fascinating is you go on a call with these investigators, and the cops are looking at the body there as somebody, a piece of evidence and evidentiary, and trying to figure out a crime scene. These folks come and they look at the body in a totally different light. And I'm not saying this in a bad way. They're just a scientific mind. They immediately start looking for lividity, fly larvae, different things to determine the breakdown of the body, how long it's been there, the body temperature. They're just a different
mindset.
Especially
if you find a body that's been out there several days.
Mm-hmm.
So they can pretty much pinpoint, probably within a few hours of when they died. And like you said, bugs, insects on them, because they know that these insects will be there at this time.
Right.
Larvae will grow at this. You remember Quincy ME, or are you too young for that?
No, I remember that. Oh, yeah, no, I don't remember that at all, Carl.
Yeah, right. I'm just trying to make it easy on you. But that, to me, I could see where that could become a fascinating job. Not necessarily for the ones that, when they come in, okay, unknown cause. And then the coroner, the medical officer, goes in and can say, okay, it was a heart attack.
Right.
And then it's kind of finished at that point.
And, that's something I want to clarify, because some people don't understand. They ask me about how is it when I'm dissecting bodies and figuring it out. Oh, I don't do that. We have medical doctors.
Yeah, doctors come in.
That come in and do those actual autopsies and explorations. And these deputy coroner investigators assist those doctors in those autopsies, because it's part of their investigation as well.
Let me ask you a question about this. What if there's no suspicious causes, the person's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Can the family request that no autopsy be done? Or is this by law that if there's an unknown cause?
That's pretty loaded. There's a question. There's certain religions that come into play.
Yes.
There's certain state law where you can request it, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen, because there's all, if the cause of death is unknown, that means there's a possibility of foul play, and that's what we're trying to rule out. That Linda didn't actually kill Carl. Carl died from some other natural causes.
Carl died of a self-inflicted blunt head
trauma.
Can
I just say that I really think if I had a loved one, I'm sure many, many people feel that they would want to know if somebody was in accident. Was it truly an accident, or just like, for instance, what was the cause of death? And the reason I bring this up is because I remember in Nashville, I worked with a producer whose wife went into a kind of a coma from a diabetic coma, and then hit a pole and died. So how do you know unless there's an autopsy that they went into a diabetic coma?
Exactly. And that is the reason that we have death investigations in the coroner's office. And that's a perfect example.
That's a great example, because, then the insurance companies get into it, and they're going to want to know that you know, that she wasn't driving too fast or under the influence of drugs or something when she was killed.
And not only that, he was raising a daughter. He was really messed up over this whole thing, and as you can imagine. But he was raising a young, like, 7-year-old daughter. And, I mean, you would want to know just because for health records and reasons that the daughter then needs to know that her mother was a full diabetic and what had happened. And I think there's a lot of lessons on the other side of once you get past, maybe, or not ever get past, but get through the trauma of education on that matter.
So in your example right there, and you're absolutely right, in your example there, the coroner would determine whether it was the actual diabetic coma that was the cause of death. That might have been the cause of the wreck, but not the cause of the death.
Yeah, the cause
of the might be blunt force trauma from the pole and the crash, but the actual cause or what led to that was the diabetic coma. So that's the things that they sort out, and you're right. For a number of reasons, you would want to know. I'll give you another example that is a horrible example that we have to deal with often, and that's Sid's death from kids. You know, you get an infant that dies in the first week or two of life, especially, and sometimes, heaven forbid, it's the mom falls asleep and rolls over and suffocates the kid. Oh. Sometimes that's not the case at all, where the kid just died from some internal complications of development, and those are the type of things the coroner would go in and determine. Yeah. And it's a horrible example. I know it's a reality in life, though, and it's the role that the coroner serves.
Well, many times we don't know. We have to take a break, but we don't know, like, for instance, out on 273 or, excuse me, on 44, like, you know, you got two lanes. Why all of a sudden does somebody veer over? Are they having, like, you know, where you have those quick things where you...
Seizure or something.
Or you block your sleep apnea thing where you, like, don't know where you are all of a sudden for, like, a second?
Or drugs or alcohol. Anyway, got to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue, my place to get my hair cut. I'm extremely happy there. Have been for 15 years. It's a better-known business. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments. That way you can come in on the time that works for you and not have to wait in line. Give them a call at 530-244-9478. Man's Last Stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop right across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. We'll be right back with the sheriff.
When Black Bear Diner first opened, they filled the largest platters they could find. Not much has changed. Their legacy of huge portions continues today. And they've just introduced new diner deals. 6 new dinner combos and new homestyle side choices. Baby back ribs and tri-tip, chicken strips and tri-tip, chicken Alfredo, chicken and pesto, ribs and shrimp, and cod and shrimp. There is always plenty for your paws at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda.
That's it. Bot. Carl and Linda Bot.
Bot.
Okay.
Carl Bot. Shaken, not stirred. Today, the 15th of February, 8:35 in the morning, 37 degrees out there. Or is it 38?
Anyway.
Linda. Or 36, Liam. Anyway. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson is a family-owned company. They've been in the business for a couple of decades. The Kenny family has done so much for our community, and I'm not just talking about giving great deals on propane and helping by giving discounts for seniors and veterans. They help a lot of people. Locally owned, locally operated Shasta Gas Propane. You can reach them at 365-3793. And we're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson. We were talking about the coroner's office and autopsies and how important they are. If nothing else, is to give, to let a family know what happened. And was it an underlying physical condition that could be passed on.
Yeah, you know, and the other frustration that comes with the coroner's office, which I totally understand, you know, it's families at a time of obviously grief and extreme emotional distress because they've lost a loved one, and here's the their loved one sitting in the coroner's office waiting for an autopsy. That doesn't always happen in a timely manner. As far as the family's concerned, or even I'm concerned sometimes, because we get backed up just like anything else, and it takes time. And we have two different doctors that we use that from out of the area that come in and do these autopsies. So it can get frustrating, and it can get challenging for them as well. And I just wanted to really put it out there that I'm not unsympathetic to that that dynamic when it comes to the coroner's office, and we do everything we can to try to move that along as fast as we can for the family's sake, but sometimes there's a delay.
Well, sometimes you have to send stuff out down to the state, and if they're backed up.
Yeah, sometimes we're waiting on toxicologies and different things as well. So, yeah, there is a factor as well, Carl. But so there's a lot of things that are not in our control, some of the things that are. I'll tell you, though, when we're talking about the coroner's office, the building itself, we've outgrown it a long time ago, and I need to at least add on to the body storage part of that, because we have to, like I told you, you know, there's weekends when we'll get 12, 13, 14 bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
And when you have to put those in your storage area of your coroner's office, you need room. And when you run out of room, you start having to
refrigerated trucks?
No.
Oh, no. That's not a good visual. But during
COVID and during other times that they had, I'm sure there were medical examiners that had 100 bodies there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
In front of them. What do you do with them? You've got a storm. You can't just lay them out.
And that is possibly temporary solutions that we'll have to do until we can
expand
the building.
Well, they were doing that. They were bringing in portable refrigeration
units.
Well,
you know, it's hard to believe that, you know, you think about your loved ones as a statistic. When you say them, they're souls. Those are souls.
I want to visit. I want to visit my husband. He's down at the meat market over here on this.
No, now hiring. Not funny. Okay. Now hiring. I see that your current positions: deputy sheriff, correctional officer 1 and 2, animal regulation officer 1 and 2. Now tell us a little bit about your animal regulation program and what you have. I mean, I know you are closely involved with Haven Humane and some of the other rescues.
Yes.
But what does your county sheriff animal regulation officer do?
A whole lot, and I don't have enough of them. All gals right now are dedicated. They obviously have an affinity for animal rights and caretaking of animals, so they do the job because of their passion for that, and they cover the whole county. Linda, they go to, for instance, you know, we talk about marijuana grows a lot. We had a case this last year where we went and served several warrants on properties adjacent to each other, and we ended up with over 100 dogs that were being mistreated, malnourished, not cared for correctly, had mange, all these things. And these gals will go in, our animal control, I shouldn't just say gals, will go in and it's their responsibility to find a place for the dogs, to get the dogs the care they need. They handle animals that you and I wouldn't. I mean,
right.
You're afraid of, and I can't believe sometimes you just walk right up to them and slap a muzzle on them and get them in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
A thankless job, but definitely dedicated and need a lot more because there's a lot going on, especially the rural parts of the county.
All right, so you are looking for animal regulation officer 1 and 2. We do have a caller. Doug, do you have a question or a comment for our sheriff?
Hey, Carl, it's Doug, your cohort on Thursdays. Hey, Sheriff, I have a question. The evidence is becoming overwhelming that the jab is killing people with myocarditis. Would you, or the coroner, be willing to file murder charges against Pfizer or Moderna if you discover that a person with no health issues died unexpectedly because of myocarditis and they had recently had the jab? Because that's what's happening, and the evidence is beyond reproach now. And as a sheriff, would you do that? I bet you would set off a tidal wave around the world if you did that. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. The answer quite simply is I don't know enough about what you're talking about. I know the generalities, but I don't know enough about details about that. Haven't had a conversation with my two pathologists about that to understand that a little bit better, but as I've stated before, you know, if there's a law being broken or there is wrongdoing, that's what my job is, to bring those cases forward. So I'd have to look into that more before I made a definitive answer to your question, but I appreciate the comment and I'll try to educate myself a little bit more on it.
I think that would be tough because there's going to be, you know, experts on this side and experts on the other side. I mean, COVID has, you know, and vaccination. When we were talking about yesterday with the lady that had the heart attack, they, you know, people were bringing that up. And doctors didn't really, you know, they didn't want to get into that because that is, you know, that's something beyond their purview at that point. So, but it'll be interesting because every day we find out more.
And that's exactly right, Carl. And I would suspect that as time goes on and there's more medical exploration and opinions about that, there'll be more that comes out down the road. And certainly not in my realm of expertise in the medical field, but I have to rely on some of my doctors and some other people to help make those determinations.
Okay, we're going to take a early break because I want to come back and talk about the your typical deputy's
day.
because it's you all cover an area larger than what New Hampshire or something like that, or
very expansive, you know, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very it's a large area, and about I want to talk about backup. I want to talk about the types of things they you know they're that they run into that okay. you know we can imagine, but I'd like to hear from you.
Sure.
The kind of things they run into. All right, 8:43 in the morning here, and we will be right back with Sheriff Mike Johnson.
I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone. We'll sing and dance to Mother Nature's songs. I don't want this feeling to go.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, I'll hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the smoothest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Hey there, friends. This is RC from Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar is Sin Compromiso Selección No. 2. This is one of the very best in our treasury of cigars. Made without compromise, this wonderfully crafted torpedo took years of experimenting using Japanese farming techniques. The result is a truly unique and complex smoke. Each cigar is gently soft-pressed and sleeved in Spanish cedar and available in very limited supply. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott, Wednesday, the 15th of February, 8:48 in the morning, and it's about 37 degrees out there, or 38, or possibly 36, but I defy anybody to tell the difference. We're here with Sheriff Mike Johnson, and we have a caller, so good morning, Dick.
Hey, good morning. I have a question for Sheriff.
Okay.
You know, I've had a CCW for about 15 years, and it used to be able to carry on the school grounds. And about 5 years ago, the loony lift in Sacramento outlawed that. And so why is it that the state would like to have unrestricted shootings on school grounds without anybody interfering with it? And it doesn't make sense to me. CCW carriers and NRA members are not committing crimes. They very seldom are they involved in any gun crime. And yet all the laws affect them. All restricted laws affect people who are not even committing crimes. So why don't you make a resolution that CCWs can carry on school grounds so they could help if something ever happened?
Well, you're not going to get an argument out of me about CCW permit holders are the people that we want armed and who would be the first line of defense in some of those things. And I got to tell you, Dick, it's my opinion that if they want to really protect the kids in school, that they should actually have some of those teachers armed and, you know, of course, in a trained and safe, locked area, but have those weapons available because they would be able to respond to the threat a lot quicker than it would for us to get there. And if you had other people that had CCWs and had been trained and permitted that were allowed on those grounds, I think it would help that as well. I don't agree with those laws, but there are some that are in effect, and I would disagree with pushing back on that, but you can't just openly make a policy where we can violate state law. That's just not allowed.
I thought somebody had ordered DoorDash. He got out. I thought he was walking his way, and I thought, Liam, what, you getting breakfast?
I'm sorry. I'm having a conversation right now. What's up?
DoorDash. I thought you'd ordered breakfast.
Oh. Breakfast is here.
I didn't order food, but I'm not going to complain if there's food.
If they just come in here. Okay. I think there's a lot of laws that we totally disagree with that the state of California is doing to hamper non-felons, non-criminals from being able to protect themselves. They're just making it harder and harder and harder.
They are, and you know.
And they're introducing new things every day.
And it's not just gun laws. It's across the board. The stuff that California does just appalls me. Did you hear about the new bill that was proposed over the last couple of days about the canines?
Thank you. I want to hear what you say on this because one of the things we're going to talk about is here's a deputy by themselves, unless they have a canine. And how much ground do you all cover?
Well, it's the county in its entirety. So if you got to think that sometimes we'll be with three deputies and a sergeant covering the whole county. And so think that if there's a high priority call, a burglary in progress or something, or a man with a gun. Now, all the deputies go to an area, let's say Happy Valley. They all end up responding, right, because they're all going to help each other, and we need more than one person there. And then at the same time, or a couple minutes later, you have something kick off in Lakehead. So now you're talking about having to travel from, you know, an hour plus to get from one call to another, and that's how spread thin we are, and that's what a deputy does on a daily basis, and it's not easy. It's tough, and we want resident deputies. We want more deputies out on the street, and we come up with hurdles of budgets and positions that we have allocated and hiring and everything else that comes into the mix.
Well, you know, let's talk about this new bill they introduced, because what it says, if you have not heard this, my friends, because when I read it, I went crazy, that they want to take police dogs out of arrest. They can be drug sniffers. They can be bomb finders, but they do not. You know, they want to make it illegal for a dog to be used that could bite. That could bite a suspect there who is fighting the police, because that's usually when you turn the dog loose or they're running. But they want to make it illegal to use a dog like that. What impact will that have?
It'll have a huge impact. And Carl, the ridiculous argument with this is that that the senator that proposed it is that it's been used for oppression of minorities for years by the police. Well, that's simply not true. They want the police to use more and more less lethal tools to apprehend suspects. The canines have been deemed a less lethal tool for years. They are not deadly force. It's been ruled in the courts over and over and over. There's only been, I think, one recorded death from a police canine in 100 years. And so to use this argument that they need to be taken away from us as part of our tool to apprehend suspects and to gain compliance is ridiculous. I'd like to give you one more piece of that.
Sure.
So they're not even considering the fact that when you roll up as a canine unit and you have a growling, snarling, drooling dog in the back of your car, attitudes often change right away. And you get compliance because they don't want that dog coming out of that car. And that is a good thing. If we get that compliance because of the tool we have, then everybody's safer.
I have read on several occasions where they, you know, the guy's not coming out. He's in the, you know, and they'll say, we're going to send in the canine. Whoa. And out they come.
Out they come.
Because they don't, because they know they can fight people. But a dog, no.
So, Carl, when I worked the street in Eureka, I had a narcotics detection canine, a black lab. Yellow lab at that time. And that dog was a friendly, just a lab, goofy, happy lab. He's a great drug dog. But when I would patrol at night and have my beat, he'd be with me. So I taught that dog to bark on command and to just growl and be nasty on command. He'd never hurt anybody, but I taught him to do that. So when I would roll up working graveyards on three or four guys, felons, that I was going to have to deal with, I'd make that dog start barking. It would change people's attitudes right away. You could see the compliance come because they thought I had a big, nasty German Shepherd or Malinois in the back of that car. They couldn't see that it was just a goofy, happy lab barking, but they would change their behavior. But that's an example of using a tool in law enforcement to gain compliance and to do your job.
So what they're saying in this, because of something that they said started during slavery and before, that they want to take away a non-lethal method of handling a suspect, and then what's that leave? Then it leaves deadly force. Right. Liam, you had a question.
I did, and I do. What are the biggest hurdles you face in hiring people? Because I know that RPD has been, they have a bunch of new employees, but why is it harder for you to hire people versus, say, the city?
So I am the lowest paid agency in the county, and the pay is definitely a hurdle when it comes to that. Now, it's not the only hurdle. There's other hurdles. There are benefit packages. There's longevity. There's transfer. There's some people just want to be city police versus a deputy, or a deputy versus city police. I think the biggest hurdle, though, overall, is the quality of applicants that we get. There's just been a difference in societal norms, I guess, and cultures that are coming along, and it's harder to get somebody to pass a background.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a number of them, Liam, number of hurdles, but and when people hear me talk about this and those struggles, I want to reiterate, I'm not just whining and not doing anything about it. I've got a team of 20 on my recruitment team now. The command staff's all on board. We're doing everything we can to get people through the door, and it's starting to pay off. We're starting to see more applicants. We're starting to more successful.
Cool. Thank you.
Ongoing. The key, though, Liam, is ongoing. You can't just, when you finally get up close to staffing, you can't quit. You have to keep going because there's always turnover. There's people that move on for whatever life reasons or retire out. You got to keep going.
Sheriff, we got 2 minutes. So the jail. And what's happening with the jail?
As far as what, Carl?
We're going to put it downtown and all that. So is that planning process and all of that has started. Is there somebody in charge of that?
So they hired a different company now to take on that transportation project that we talked about, which is DLR. So we're waiting for them to get done negotiating that contract with DLR so we can get back to the planning stages and start moving this along. I'm in a real time crunch from that new courthouse opening to getting my transportation project done so I can just start getting prisoners across the street to court. So I'm in a little bit of a have a little bit of anxiety about that because time's closing in on me and I need to get that done.
Well, I'd be glad to contract my F-150 out. You just load them in the back of the truck and I drive them down there. You know, but
well, they got shackles. They got shackles on.
Yeah. So if we're going to do that, Carl, let's just march them across the street in shackles.
Well, you know what? I think we could start with the truck so people get used to seeing orange out there and then start walking them across the street. I think that would have a lot to do with people going, oh, I don't want to be watched across the street. I think I'll become a good boy. Anyway, okay.
We get that coincide with Nick's mugshot program back up online. We'll have something going.
That solves a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Sheriff, thanks again for being here.
Yep, thank you both.
I learned a lot about the coroner's office. And this law, people, you have to understand, the Democrats that introduced these laws are crazy. They're crazy people. Don't use a dog to arrest people. It's a non-lethal form.
Just crazy, isn't it?
It is. Well, you're a dog person.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you really understand the utility, utilitarian concept of how a dog can assist.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I do. And I'll tell you, the truth of the matter is, I've always said this, if I could afford to do it and could run the program, I'd give every deputy out in the rural areas a dog.
That, to me, just makes sense. You got your backup, and we have to run.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Sheriff.
Yeah, thank you both.
Be safe out there. Yeah. Okay, everybody, have a great day. It's 37. 37-